Michelle, thank you for volunteering for this visit with us tonight. Appreciate very much your service in the Lord's kingdom, and we're glad to get to visit with you a while. So last week when we were visiting with Justin and Carrie, they mentioned that one of the blessings that's discovered in the church and in experiences like these are the way our people's creative ability comes out, and the way people who are our fellow Christians step up and do what they can in the work of a congregation to make it function. So, John, lucky for us, when this pandemic hit and we had to be delayed from our usual activities, you happened to be on vacation. So when it came time for us to just live stream, we had to start doing some things that we did not already have going on. So I wondered if we can start, if you can tell us some of the things that kind of had to be done by you in this case, mostly, to get us our services and our classes live streamed to our people. What did you have to start doing that we weren't already doing?
Well, the main thing I had to start doing was being here every service. It was really fortunate that I had the vacation, which ended up turning into a leave of absence, and I've been able to be here every single service. And it was a work in progress. We started off, had some rough edges, and it's considerably better now, and we're still getting suggestions and working on it. Primarily, well, everything. We've been really lucky, knock on wood, that the internet, that's been our Achilles heel, is the internet connection here, but it's been working pretty well, except for a couple weeks ago, we had an outage for 5 minutes. But other than that, it's been good. But what I did was before this all happened, it was pretty much just an automated camera set up. Every service, it would just record, kind of static. As you can see now on the internet, it's obvious when all of us began to worship together, online, it was obvious that wasn't going to do. So I had to get licenses so we could see the lyrics of the songs. I needed a license so we could actually sing and stream at the same time. Right. Stream the singing, and. And technically getting all that kind of online all at the same time was a little, well, it was not so much challenging. It was new to me. And so I learned a lot through this thing. We've got one computer with the PowerPoint stuff that runs a video of that to another computer, which runs that video combined with the video of the cameras and the audios to the Facebook. And now, which I started last week, that computer runs another video back into the fellowship room to a projector. Which is working pretty well. I'm still working on that. That's taken the bulk of my effort over the last week. So as we went week to week, it was interesting to see the mistakes that I made and the comments and suggestions. John Davis came up with the idea of making the songs bigger and the song leader smaller so you could read it better online. It looked fine on my screen, but apparently when you read it on a phone, it's a little tough. Yeah. So that was a suggestion directly from him. And other people suggested singing. The singing, all you could hear was the song leader. So we, Scott really came up with that. And so we pre-recorded a few singers and added that to the mix, which was just another ball in the air. So we've got a lot of balls going back here in the back of the auditorium, and sometimes we drop a few, but overall it's been pretty good.
Y'all have done a great job at it.
You can just look at.
Okay. And so the times when, the one time when it didn't get started right on time, we found out not to take for granted technology. We would have been unable to communicate with our folks at all had we not been able to live stream like this. But it's easy to to forget that there are people who don't have access still. I know that you and Michelle have helped some of our people who don't have, over the years, who don't have maybe fast enough internet service or something like that. So we have to try to remember that we do this, but we're still not communicating with everybody, right?
Yeah, we've got a number of people out there that don't have any internet at all or have dial-up, and I kind of forgotten what dial-up is until I went out to the country and tried to log into our services and just can't be done.
So we still got to work at that. Michelle, I wonder, I know one of the ways you helped with this was you were the person at home sometimes telling us if we were going right and all of that. I also know that you've had a job that must have been especially interesting and challenging throughout this situation. Tell me about what your job these last few years has been.
Sure. So for the past 10 years, I've been Director of International Business Programs at Missouri State, and it's a wonderful job because I like to say it's a great job because I make people go away. I help people find study away locations and make sure they're taking classes that's still going to work for their degree plan. And so a lot of advising with students, and I really enjoy that. And sometimes I lead a study away program myself. So that's just a lot of fun. And it's very special to me because I get to help students learn about different cultures and really in a bigger sense help them be more tolerant of other people who are different. And there's a lot about our world that students in Southwest Missouri don't understand. And so giving them a bigger picture is really important and has had a big impact on a lot of students.
So what happens in a situation like this when all of a sudden in the middle of a semester you have students from here in other countries and students from those countries here? What did you guys have to do when this happened?
It really started for me in late January. I had three teaching assistants at our China campus, and I received word from them that they were getting a little bit uncomfortable with what they were hearing on the news there, and so we made the decision to go ahead and bring them home. And so within 2 or 3 days of hearing about the concerns, we had them on a plane back home. So I made sure they were home and safe, and they quarantined for 2 weeks when they got back. And then fast forward to March, we have the CDC and Department of State warnings, which said we really should bring everybody back. And we put out the word to all our students, and many other people worked harder than I did at this and did a wonderful job, but the students that I had direct impact with were really good about just making the arrangements and getting back. A few chose to stay, which was a little surprising, but it worked out, and I just stayed in constant contact with them to make sure they were okay. But students here had, some of them wanted to go home at the same time, international students who were studying here, and some were able to and some were not.
So what's it like for the ones who have to stay away from their homes during this period of time? Do you all try to work with those young people too, and how does that go?
I'd say mostly it goes well. They do have some special needs. Sometimes we've tried to get them as much support as they can, whether it be from counseling services or just taking food to some of them who didn't feel comfortable coming out. I know the university made a big effort to stay in contact with each and every international student who was still around Springfield, and so that was very nice, and they appreciated that. And community members really stepped up in a big way, which was very nice too.
That's Springfield.
That is Springfield, yep.
So what's it like now trying to plan for the upcoming school year? Are you guys with international programs still, are the plans being made, or are they just too, we don't know yet?
Well, we are making plans. Whether or not we get to carry through, we'll find out in August. But some students are still planning to come to Springfield. Some would like to come to Springfield and have learned that they won't be able to get their visas and come in. So we're making arrangements for them to take classes abroad still. And we'll just make our plans. There's a lot of social distancing efforts being made for those who do get to campus. So it's a kind of a day by day, and we'll just see how the situation evolves in Springfield and hope that we can just do everything as we want.
John, your work for the last several years as you're a pilot for one of our airlines. That's an industry that surely has been changed greatly by what has happened here. So you fly, what plane is it you fly?
I've just checked out on the Airbus 320.
Okay, yeah. Okay, and you fly domestic flights and that kind of stuff. Have you had any interaction or visits with your fellow pilots during this time about what it's like now and planning that going forward?
Not many. I haven't seen many of them. I've talked to a few of them on the phone. And they're just—they wish they could. Well, some of them wish they could retire. Were young enough to retire, and the other guys are just kind of just chugging along, doing the best they can. They're kind of with some trepidation, I guess I might say, because you're trying to decide in public. You're required to wear masks in a cockpit. You're trying to decide if you wear a mask or not. It's the whole thing. There's a lot of unknowns going on here.
So there's a lot of uncertainty and a lot of people who don't know what will happen with them. So in the church here, you guys have been with us for a number of years now, but you both also have roots in the church. Your mom, John, was a long time kind of office manager for the Center Street Church in Fayetteville, right?
Yep, she was there forever.
Yeah, and then your grandmother, very strong Christian lady.
Amazing example she was.
And she made it to,
102?
102, something, yeah.
She was, the story I like the best is towards the end she had dementia. And she ended up at the church building one Tuesday, hitchhiked up to the church building because she was sure it was time for church. And that's where, that was the core of her life.
So like you here recently, she was there every time.
Right? Every time.
So, Michelle, are you from the Fayetteville area also, right?
Also, yes. And my grandmother took me to church from the time we moved to Fayetteville. And so she was a member at Center Street as well with her sister.
We thank both of your grandmas then. So here at Watermill, Michelle, you have helped teach some of our classes for our little ones. What age?
So I've been in the green room for many years. So they're about 3 when they come in and 4 when they leave. Just the best age.
Yeah, very good, very good. So you guys' efforts to help people in other ways, one of the things that we mentioned, I think you mentioned it to me once, is that people step forward and do what they can when there is opportunity and the need. You guys have done that in trying to help people in various ways over time. I appreciate the fact that in the church, as members of the body of the Lord, we're cut out for different things and we do different things. I learned during this period of time now that John is actually a bass singer, and he stepped in to help with that. So thank you for doing that for us, John.
I was honored to be asked. I don't understand why. I don't think I really added anything other than maybe some volume. But if somebody asks, I try to always say yes.
Yeah, and we're grateful for people like that. So while we're on this, thinking about what we've been going through here recently, none of us would have chosen to do this. But if I were to ask you guys, what's something good that you've seen good that might be taken from this experience, just from having had faith and tried to hold faith and lift other people up with faith through this, what's something good from it that you would take from it, you'd hope you would continue with us?
Well, before we talk about the faith, my favorite thing is that Carrie Cole can't hug me. if there's one reason I wish this thing would go on forever.
I know you're breaking his heart here.
But I, as everybody else has seen, it's just, it's amazing to watch people rise to the challenge.
Yeah.
I really, my favorite thing is to see people make an effort to connect outside this building.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's been really nice. Yeah.
I appreciate that too. You, same answer?
I hear so many stories of people say, well, I just see families are doing things together. They're out in their yards playing. And,
yeah.
And you kind of, you think, this is nice. This is something that maybe the whole world needed time to just reconnect within your own family.
Yeah.
And that's probably been a blessing to many families with children of all ages.
Yeah,
and
I hope it has. I think that's one that a lot of people would take too. So are there any things that have helped you guys or encouraged you guys in your faith while this has all been going on? If have you done anything like in your life together every day, or is there anything about your involvement with the Lord's people that has helped you or encouraged you or kept you going through this? Or has it been more just getting up and doing what you can to help every day? Which helps more?
I don't consider myself overly talented. I know I have talents, and I consider myself average, and which is kind of cool that the average guy can help.
Yeah.
So I just kind of try to just chug along and contribute any way I can, and if I can do it, anybody can.
That's good. Okay. Anything to add to that?
For several weeks I was just getting up and moving from the bedroom to the office and 10 steps. And
yeah, you did your work for the university from home.
I still had to work from home through the end of May, and so there was a lot of work there. And I'd like to think that I was able to help put people at ease and still make connections with people, students, faculty, whomever needed help, even just being available when they needed to and not being out of sight and out of mind.
Yeah. The fact that we had to work from home, or that people did, is kind of both a blessing and a burden, isn't it? Where the downside of it is you're never away from it. So I found out that a lot of people kind of felt that too. And then, did you guys, was it any kind of a challenge to you to have like church and work and everything else, shopping and everything else, come to you by the same means all the time? Yeah.
I think we're introverts at heart, so it wasn't a big stretch for
all
us.
Right.
We were able to get up and do our things
make
our orders. And
I was kind of okay with it. You know?
Yeah. I almost felt guilty that I wasn't out doing more than I probably could be doing.
So are there things, if I were to ask you, what are you hoping for, either for our country or for the church here, for all of us going forward, what are you hoping? If I had to ask you for something that you pray for and hope for going forward, what would it be?
Well, for me, I would hope that people would look beyond themselves a little bit more. I think I sometimes just get too wrapped up in what I need to do and what's affecting me, and this has given me a way of thinking about what I can do that affects other people.
Yeah.
And I need to listen to the laws of the land and obey the laws of the land, and things have been asked of us that some people find a great burden, some people find inconvenient, and I try to tell myself this is a very small thing to do to help others.
Yeah.
Maybe everybody. So I would hope that we would kind of look beyond that, what's inconvenient for ourselves, and appreciate the time that we've had now to sit and reflect and connect and do a better job for our fellow citizens and our brothers and sisters.
One of the things with me is I would hope we'd all count our blessings a little bit more. We've been reminded a lot of things that we kind of have taken for granted, and not to do that now. So that'd be one thing. I hope that we can figure out ways to do what you're talking about in terms of everybody helping or doing what they can. I hope we can find ways to accommodate that more consistently and more all the time, and not just when a big problem arises like this.
You know, it's been kind of nice. You know, everybody was always so busy, and just no time. And now, you know, you see it mostly with people and their kids outside, at least in our neighborhood, that they now have time to do some of that stuff that really was important, but they just didn't have time for it. So hopefully we can keep that going.
Yeah, one of the things that I wanted to mention to you guys, too, is I know, Michelle, you worked at Green Valley Bible Camp, and Rob had in them session for many years. And so now, and of course, a number of our other brothers and sisters here have helped in one way or another with special things like that, either camp or helping with the children's home or things like that, that are not able this summer maybe to function as they normally would or are affected in some other ways. So you think about that, and you think about what that does, like for our young people or for people who've helped. It's a concern.
Yes.
So one of the things that we think about is how to get those things back going in some form or another. And we'll have to do that in our congregational life here, and figure out ways to meet needs like you did with the live stream or that kind of thing.
Right.
So that means the answers to them, to those things, require not only prayer, but also people watching for what they can do, that they can do, and then figuring out ways where we can together be a blessing. You too have always helped us with that, and I want to tell you we appreciate that very much. So are there any, one of the things we've talked about is this sure is a time when our the things that we think about and preach about and sing about in our services every week have to be applied to unexpected real life situations. So are there any scriptures or any of the things that we believe in anyway that you guys have found especially to kind of come to the top or be your favorites during times like this? Or is there a passage or anything that you guys think of that you could pass along for us?
Well, as far as an application, the one thing that this has really helped me with is or at least accentuated, is we as Christians don't need to really be in anguish about. We've got a certainty.
Yeah.
Worry. American Airlines in the last few weeks has had two pilots commit suicide.
Oh.
Because we're looking at an economic downturn and everything associated with that, and nobody, you know, and the uncertainty, and some people are just don't have the foundation, don't have the security, don't have the hope, maybe. And so, you know, I look back through this country's history, they look back at in the Bible, you know, the first century church was persecuted to an extent way beyond what we're not. This is hardly
right.
Persecution.
Right.
This is just a rough patch.
Right.
This thing has taught me, you know, where to put my treasure.
All right. Very good. Okay.
And I go back to the fruit of the Spirit. I need those qualities every day, but maybe a little bit more so during this period of time. I'll sing that and the Greatest Commandment song. I do a lot of singing in my head because those are scriptures that I can just repeat over and over that give me some encouragement.
That's one way camp stays with us, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah, so those things. One of the things that we have to talk about, and I mean, I talked to Justin and Carrie a little bit about this last week, is that it's pretty clear that we don't just have one problem to work through in our culture right now. There are other things, terrible things that have happened in the middle of it, and a lot of turmoil, a lot of unrest. So not only is there the need to have our hope set on things more important than any of this that keeps us at peace and calm. But it's also important for us to be a presence and to be salt and light and leaven and all of that. Yeah. One of the things that, if I hear you guys right, one of the ways that that happens is just by your being yourself in roles and jobs and so forth in life that you get to have, and you just take your faith with you and you be yourself, and it's not necessarily talking just about your faith all the time, but simply being present with who you are. So that would be a lesson that I think is especially important right now for all of us in our congregational life, our church life, or all of us in God's family. Since we've been thinking about we're part of the family right now, you guys have been here at Watermill long enough to have known a lot of great, strong people of faith. So think about how important the influence of people who have been present in your lives as Christian, how important that is in forming your faith or the fruit of the spirit in your life, or that kind of thing. Now, what do you look forward to about us being able to all get back together again in that way?
I look forward to just reconnecting. It's hard for me to put it into words. It's just getting up and looking in someone's eyes and seeing their smile. We can't do that yet through the mask.
Yeah.
But I just miss my friends.
Yeah, I think we're all that way. So.
Yeah.
The noise, I think of the noise and the energy and the little ones and the older ones and the mix between them, all of that I hope for too. So we're starting our work this week with a new staff member, which we look forward to as well. And one of the things Justin said is that he does not want to do a job that anyone else is already doing. He wants to fill holes. So we started this visit by talking about how you guys have done that. I want to thank you for all of us for that. But to also say to all the rest of us, you know, watch for opportunities like this in God's family where you can see a need. You may be the only one who can see as clearly the opportunity as you do, and where you have some gift or some ability that you would enjoy using in that way, and then just step in and do it. Watch for the great people who are around, who are living for the Lord and who are trying to serve Him in everyday life, and encourage them and be encouraged by them. I thank John and Michelle for visiting with us tonight and for all of their service in the Lord's kingdom and for their friendship over all these years. And we give thanks for people like they are and like so many of you are. We appreciate the time to visit tonight. Thank you for joining us.